Hi, this is Father Tom Burke, pastor of St. James Parish in Swickley and the host of Education Plus. This program spotlights activities and events of nearly 100 total quality elementary and secondary Catholic schools in the Diocese of Pittsburgh, which comprises of Allegheny, Beaver, Butler, Greene, Lawrence, and Washington counties. Education Plus is brought to you by the generosity of Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. And today's segment is a little bit different. Normally, we would feature a Catholic elementary or secondary school, but today we're very honored to have Carlos Carter. He's the executive director for the Homeless Children's Education Fund, and Caitlin Nyquist. She's the after school and enrichment manager. Carlos and Caitlin, welcome today to Education Plus.
Thank you.
And Carlos, would you like to introduce yourselves to our guests today?
Yes, my name is Carlos Carter, as he said, and I'm the executive director of the Homeless Children's Education Fund. I've been in the organization about 6 months, but have always been passionate about serving the community, even helping homeless and disadvantaged youth.
Great. And Caitlin?
Hi, my name is Caitlin Nyquist. I've been working with the Homeless Children's Education Fund in one way or another since 2009. Started out as a volunteer and have continued with HCEF ever since.
Great. And Carlos and I, we go way back.
Yes.
We were board members at Holy Family Institute with Sister Linda in Emsworth, very near and dear to my heart.
Mine as well.
And you work out at the Swickley Y, and you pump the iron, and I stand
around. And
you're
right beside me.
So great to have both of you here today.
Thank you for having
us.
Something
that's maybe a lot of people don't realize, but the homelessness that is around us in Allegheny County, and that's why I think it's very important to look at the homelessness in this region and how it's so close to home, plus the children that are affected. So, Carlos, can you tell us a little bit about what is exactly the Homeless Children's Education Fund for our listeners today?
Yes, the Homeless Children's Education Fund was started about 18 years ago. Our motto is to create hope through learning, and our mission is to advance the education of children and youth experiencing homelessness. We do that in several ways. We work with 27 shelters and provide educational programming to support homeless youth, because many years ago, kids would pretty much be in shelters, staring at the TV, not much to do. And we wanted to gauge them, and it's also a way of helping them to build relationships with their parents and just to be more whole and to be positioned for success.
27 shelters in our county?
Yes.
Wow.
27.
That's a lot.
Yes.
That's a lot. And roughly, what would be the population that you serve with the children?
Well, it's about 3,000 students are estimated to have homelessness, and that's not just living in shelters or living in cars, but it's people who are doubled up. And basically, we go by the McKinney-Vento definition of homelessness, which is lacking an adequate fixed nighttime residence, because there are implications when you are doubled up and unstable from graduation rates and just a lot of things. When you don't have your own place or a certainty around where you're going to live, that affects anyone, but especially children.
Now, Caitlin, how do you connect with the children who in families that are experiencing this very difficult time in their lives?
We connect with the children and their families in a variety of different ways. Primarily, we're able to connect with them most closely in the shelters. So all those different partner agencies that you just mentioned, that's the site where children are staying there with their families and are able to access the services that we bring in, whether it's an after-school program, an enrichment program, ability to take them on field trips. All those great educational things that they might not otherwise have access to, we bring it to where they are.
Now, I would assume various ages, like the elementary and even high school students?
Sure, HCF works with youth from birth to 24, so all the way from very young to young adults.
Now, how does your organization work? Now, these families who are homeless, do they go to a regular school district school, or how would that work if they're in a shelter? Do they go during the day and then come back? How would that work, Carlos?
Yes, and Caitlin could add to this, but basically, yes, they can be in a shelter, and due to the McKinney-Vento Act, they are required to be transported to their home school district, so they would come back, and sometimes they're dropped off places near the shelter because you don't want to be obvious, because there's a stigma, unfortunately, and shame around that, so we want to maintain their dignity through the process.
You want to add to that, Caitlin?
Yeah, sometimes it's usually whatever is in the best interest of the child. So if it's in the best interest of the child, as Carlos said, to have them the transportation provided back to their school of origin, that's what happens. Sometimes they'll move in, you know, if the distance is great and a bus ride would be long. Children go into the school in the neighborhood of where the shelter is located.
Now, Carlos, how did you get involved with this? When I knew you from the Holy Family Institute, obviously serving children who have difficult homes and, and backgrounds, and it seems like you have a passion to help children, and you have a deep love for education, obviously.
I do. You know, my wife and I, through our involvement with Holy Family Institute many years ago, we took in abused, neglected children. We were host family, and also we took in a homeless young lady for 3 months. She lived with us, and we really incorporated into our family. And even, you know, being wanted to help you know, start Holy Family Academy with the team and Sister Linda. So I've always been very passionate about that. And even from being in the corporate world, I saw myself as a business person who cares. So just wanting to, you know, just give that love and help them to have the opportunities that they deserve.
And then being the director, you kind of help keep things running, right?
Yes, yes, with the team. I have a great team, and we all work together, and we work with the community partners as well, but it's a very collaborative effort. We can't do anything without our partners and the staff.
Now, Kaylin, you've been saying you've been part of this since 2007. How did you get involved with this very important program?
I began as a volunteer in the Learning Center. So I started out working with the children doing after-school tutoring. So we read books together, helped make sure they had a healthy snack, time to unwind after school, but then also focusing on those educational pieces, because we know the more you move around, the further you can be set behind in your education. So really help make sure that they're kind of
raising
to that level.
Do your workers, do they go into the shelters then? And how do you provide resources and materials? Where do you get the funding for that?
Sure, we work with a lot of different agencies and some wonderful foundations in Pittsburgh. We have a great community of supporters. But we provide a lot of the program, like I said, on-site in the shelters. So we're able to set up learning centers in about a dozen of the shelters where we have a space dedicated just for the children. Wow. So there are books, computers, you know, latest technology, iPads, things like that, but also great people. Instructors and volunteers, a reading specialist, you know, people who are really focused on bringing up those, meeting their educational needs.
So now with it being in the summertime and school winding down, does your program run year round or do you take a break over the summer?
We keep on going, just like the kids.
Yeah, just like the kids, right?
Yeah, we provide summer camp programming, and that's a great time for field trips. So kids will go out to local museums, things like that. But we'll also bring enrichment programming into the site. So hands-on science programming, art, music, drumming, all kinds of great things.
They like all the hands-on stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Bookwork is important, but playtime, it's playing, but they're learning.
It's a balance, right? Yeah, for sure.
And they have such pride around it. I remember shortly was one young lady, I can't remember the name of Kylie. She was showing me her flag and just the pride that she had. And it was just touching to see that it's more than education. It's about building relationships, because there's a lot of stress between the parents and the kids. You just imagine your mom's being abused. You have 2 minutes or a minute to grab everything you have and leave. And that's very traumatic. So it's a way of creating a sense of community and a safe place for them while they're learning too.
So these kids and their parents, their families coming out of a very difficult situation, and they're in transition, obviously there's a lot of fear. So what you're providing is trying to keep things as normal as possible,
exactly.
The loving, nurturing, trying to take a negative situation but making it a positive.
Exactly. And just empowering them to take charge of their education and
absolutely.
Their lives.
And to get out of that negative thing,
yes.
And not look backward, but look forward.
Yes.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the teen program, because I can imagine a teenager having to go through a very horrible home situation, plus they're being in a teenager is not easy as it is.
Yes,
their bodies are changing, hormones are changing. How does the Homeless Children's Education Fund help a critical time as a youngster going from a child into a young adult, the teenager years? How does your program help a teenager?
Well, we kicked off our teen program this year in conjunction with support from the Heinz endowments. And so there have been 500 youth identified in the Pittsburgh Public Schools as homeless, and pretty much are doubled up. So we help them by getting them on a pathway to college. But you just can't educate people. You have to deal with their needs, right?
Sure.
When you call it Maslow, a hierarchy of needs. So we need to deal with other issues that they're dealing with, and providing the resources and referrals to support them. But the goal is to break the cycle of homelessness and get them on a pathway to college or some type of post-secondary education. So we work in conjunction with a few shelters and actually four high schools right now. But the demand is great. Even in the first few weeks of the program, we've had maybe like 30 to 40 kids Yes. And I was just at a school today, high school today. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Caitlin, would you talk a little bit about what's the critical, the success for your work for your students? What would be some goals that you would see, especially for the teenagers?
Sure. Yeah. I think that Carlos touched on it briefly already, but what's critical to the success of our programs is the relationships that we build with the youth that we work with. It's something that I talk about when I talk to our volunteers is that really getting to know each child and identifying what's unique about them is critical before you can move on to the academics and everything. Sure. So it's really important just to kind of get to know who they are and not make assumptions about who they might be because of where they've come from or what they've been through.
So it's almost like before you sit down and start teaching them a book or something, really get to know the students and their background and their situation. I think that would be very crucial to get to know who you're ministering to, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Carlos, let's talk a little bit about the Big Berg app. Okay. Not Big Bird, but Big Berg, Big Berg, like Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the
basically
Big Berg.
Big Berg,
I like that name.
Big Berg is a mobile optimized website. Yeah. And it's www.bigberg.com. You don't have to download it, but basically it's to connect homeless youth or anyone in need, because people don't realize at least 61% of homeless youth have access to technology. Mm. But while we were developing that, we figured why not help all people in need? And we try to keep it fun. Our motto is things are tough, find good free stuff. We've had over 41,000 hits on our app because it's really a human-centered design base. We got input from homeless youth as well as the police, and so we work in tandem. And the genesis was police weren't able to help homeless youth, and it was very frustrating because homeless youth commit crimes sometimes because they're trying to survive. Mm-hmm. They're prone to domestic violence as well as sexual violence, and they're taken advantage of. But this way gets into vital resources, food, clothing. So basically it looks at your age, it takes into account gender identity, many things, and connects you to the vital resources you need to survive and thrive.
Now this question would be for both of you. With your experiencing and working and going into the shelters, is there kind of like a current theme or background that you're seeing with the families and the kids from like abuse situation, or is there certain things that pop up that are pretty much consistent here in Allegheny County that you see a pattern?
It's hard to say. I would say that each child's situation, each family situation is unique, but there are many causes of homelessness, and we see all of those causes in the shelters, whether it's from lack of affordable housing, poverty, domestic violence, you know, the list goes on, but we see a pretty pretty comparable distribution in the shelters of those issues.
And a shelter is a microcosm of our society, right? The things that are affecting people in society are affecting people in the shelters. And homeless people, they're people first who are experiencing homelessness. So it's easy to put a label and dismiss a label, but they're people. You know, the kids, they want to do Snapchat and the same things that other kids do. So see them as people, and that's what they are, and they deserve dignity and respect.
And I do a lot of driving in my car. Okay. And coming down 65 from Swickley, you see people, homeless people at the McKees Rocks Bridge,
yes,
or the West End Bridge, Fort Duquesne Boulevard, going out to Oakland near the Bloomfield Bridge. It seems like it's very common. You're seeing more and more homeless people on the main arteries in Pittsburgh and Allegheny County. And, you know, they're all different ages, young and old, even out in Robinson Township near Robinson Town Center. So it's not just people think, oh, inner city. It's reaching the suburbs. Would you agree, Carlos?
Absolutely. I mean, all over. I mean, from Shaler, North Hills, right from Mount Lebanon. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's doubled up, too. So people don't have anywhere to go. So there's a lot of unseen. So what you see, you actually see is only a little bit of the problem. It's what you don't see. Because there's a lot of shame around it. So we're trying to help people who necessarily don't want to be found because of the shame, especially with the youth. And we're trying to, you know, break that stigma and get them on the right path.
And even if people, you know, go down along the rivers to go see a ball game at PNC Park, you can see underneath the bridges and especially around underneath the bypasses through Point State Park, the sleeping bags, the food wrappers. It's you can't ignore it because you're right. These are living, breathing human beings. And what your organization is doing to help try to turn a negative into a positive, especially working with children, you're providing hope. What do you see? Do you see any anything stand out, like positive things? Have you seen over with what you're doing with the kids and their families? Any positive stories you can share? That something that stands out?
Absolutely, I think. And Caitlin, feel free to jump in. But I remember one family that we had that was in a shelter. They were in a very bad situation. They were very below a grade level in reading. I mean, drastically, we were able to get them to where they need to be and help to improve their social emotional situation and just create hope for them and inspiration. One little kid drew like a house of where he wanted to live. He didn't have a house at that time, but he actually drew a house that he would want to live on. But getting them to seeing that progress and growth in them and confidence is so nice. That's one story.
Yeah, and I wanted to say too, I think that these parents, these children already have this wonderful quality inside of them. And we're just giving them a space and the resources to really feel that self-empowerment. They have the power within them to get back to where they want to be. So we really help make that happen. And I've had a really great time getting to know a lot of parents as well. And I think that's an integral part of what we do, is just making sure that parents know that we're part of the team in their children's education.
And I think you give them hope and you give them some type of dignity too. Mm-hmm. Like, you're down on your luck in a difficult situation, but it's not the end. This is a beginning, and there are people out there that care for you. There is help available, and you know, it's not the end of the world. And I'm sure you're helping them to share and see the light that they can turn a negative and make it a positive.
Absolutely. And I always like the quote from Muhammad Ali, an apostle means nothing. Mm-hmm. So I like them to realize that they don't have to resign by their situation, that they don't have to be defined by a label, that they can do anything with the support and in the education, that anything is possible.
Mm-hmm. Are there any upcoming events that are coming up over this summer or early fall that you want to share with our listeners?
We have our Hope Through Learning Award in July. Where we recognize at least 5 youth who have experienced some homelessness up to 24 and giving them some resources to help bridge the educational gap. Anything else, Caitlin, you can think of?
Coming up in August, we'll be doing our school supplies drive. So we'll be doing our delivery of our backpacks to our shelter partners throughout the school districts to make sure the kids are ready for the first day of school.
That's always a heartwarming, nice news story you see with the back to school. It seems like soon as school ends, there's back to school shopping sales already, but people can drop off book bags, crayons, pens, rollers, paper, and notebooks. And I'm sure your organization benefits from those wonderful drives that they have around the city. A lot of businesses too are very supportive.
Right.
Too.
We're giving out 2,200 book bags this year because there's a lot of need, and even adding like some personal items because families really appreciate that. And we give them quality product because we don't want to give people just anything. We're going to give them something that meets their needs.
How can people get involved who are listening today? How can they help you?
Well, a couple ways. I think, you know, first of all, advocating for homeless youth. There's homeless liaison in the school district, figuring out, contacting them to see how you can get involved. Obviously, you know, we don't receive any government funding, so donating to us via our website, www.homelessfund.org, that helps support the great work that we do. Just anything else you can think of.
Yeah, and becoming a part of our Homeless Education Network, which is a collaborative group of organizations that surround the topic of homelessness. We do quarterly meetings.
So do you get the word out through working with different school districts, the colleges, universities in our area? Is that a nice tie-in to help?
Yes, we work closely with them because there have been at least 30 youth identified as homeless at the university. So we're working with Peachy to come up with a plan to create a singular solution. So on holidays in the summers, sometimes these kids are on the street. People don't know that they're college students. So that's the issue that we're working on as well with the universities. And we have a lot of service learning activities with Duquesne, Point Park, and hopefully I'm not missing any other schools, Chatham, a lot of the schools we work with them, and to create awareness.
And that's good for the college students, too, to be aware, to appreciate, especially if they want to get into education or service-oriented or community service, that the college kids can see, hey, maybe coming from a comfortable community, and they see that here's a neighbor in need. And they're helping, but they're also learning too.
Absolutely.
And they're giving them hope. And even those schools are winding down for the school year and we're still gearing up for the summer. As you say, you never shut down and continue to to provide hope for the after-school programs in the shelters, and especially during the summertime when, you know, a lot of, in a normalcy family situation, people go on vacations or right. have a good, comfortable household. This transition difficulty, you're giving them that hope.
Right, our motto is creating hope through learning.
Creative hope through learning.
Creating hope through learning. Like that. Yes, that's right.
And Carlos, would you like to give our listeners a phone number, or email address, telephone number that they can get a hold of you if they would like to help you out or get more involved?
Absolutely. Our phone is 412-562-0154. Again, it's 412-562-0154. And through our website as well as www.homelessfund.org. Again, and www.homelessfund.org.
And you're located at 2020 Smallman Street in downtown.
That is correct. In the Strip District.
In the Strip mm-hmm. District. Okay, good. And I think we learned a lot today. So Carlos mm-hmm. Carter, the Executive Director of the Homeless Children's Education Fund, and Caitlin Nyquist, who is the After School and Enrichment Manager, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks again. We're honored to be here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
And thank you for listening to Education Plus. We hope you learned some more valuable information about the Homeless Children's Education Fund. This program is brought to you by the generosity of Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. Join us again. Until next time, this is Father Tom Burke for Education Plus.